Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Anna Carmu at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a new Libyan woman has emerged after the political transition, and we hear why investing in young African women is good for the world. But first, women-led groups in the African Great Lakes region are demanding a more active and integral role in ongoing peace processes, a female activist has said. Julianne Luseng, from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, is a member of the Women's Platform for Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework backed by the UN. As the head of a peace movement called Sophie Pari, she has braved death many times, fighting to stop violence against women in areas where armed groups operate. She spoke to Jocelyn Sambira following a meeting with UN Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region in New York.
We meet to see and to evaluate how the platform of Addis Ababa Accord is going, and we try to evaluate how women engage with this platform and how we can do best, everyone who is member of the board, to try to implicate women in each level to build peace in the Great Lake region and to promote women's rights, to do more with women, to meet the political leader in the Great Lakes. We saw that the platform gives some grant to women, but we need to do more to open the door so they can be very engaged to follow up with the Addis Ababa Accord to restore peace in the region.
Part of your job is to help women who have been rape victims, and part of it is to also seek justice. How successful have you been?
In our country, we must pay before the case go to the court. If we don't pay, they cannot accept to take the case and to continue to facilitate access to justice for women. So, yes, we see some change, but we saw that it's not enough because some official, the high commander, they are not finished. We like to see more engagement, government engagement. We need to see more, because till now, women cannot get reparation. And we continue to follow up, we continue to push, but it's very tough. And another thing, we saw that donors don't give money to women group.
After years of living in fear of standing up for their rights, Libyan women are now emerging to claim better political representation. That's the understanding of Magda El-Sanoussi, gender advisor at the United Nations Support Mission in Libya, or UNSMIL. Ms. Sanoussi was at UN headquarters at a panel where Libyan women spoke about their experiences in the transition and the role of women in political life. Conflict in the North African country has been ongoing since 2011, but in January 2016, a new proposed government was announced, the Government of National Accord, which is backed by the United Nations. The warring factions have yet to agree on its makeup. Carmen Cuesta Roca has been speaking with Magda El-Sanoussi about the newfound empowerment of women in Libya.
They are on the rise in a sense of they continue their struggle, they are restless, they are seeking for peace. They are accompanying all the processes that are happening in their country.
And has political participation among women increased or decreased in recent years in the country?
I often challenge the people like how best we define the political participation in terms of uprise of women coming up to be part of the processes and for seeking peace. I think there is a huge amount or a large number of women who are calling upon peace, peace attainment. If we are talking about the representation of women in the formal structure, and I think they are trying their best, they are pushing for their representation to the best that will fulfill their aspiration. But they are there in the political space.
What kind of proportion of women are there?
In the current government of National Accord, there are 3 ladies out of 18 members. So it's a progress somehow. I think they did a very significant progress and achievement in the political Libyan political agreement, whereby they have included the establishment of women's empowerment as support unit to be part of the presidential council, which is very good because it will increase women's profile and representation in the public life.
And what kind of impact does, you know, in this transition period with the absence of law and order, what kind of impact does that absence have on women progressing in political life, cultural life, social life?
Of course, al insecurity, definitely, not only in Libya and everywhere. If there is insecurity, women lose out because maybe the majority, their mobility become a little bit restricted to participate in the public life. There is a fear that influence is the shrinking of their space to be fully engaged in whatever they wish. Like, nevertheless, what I use always to say, the hard time that Libya had or still having has really created a new Libyan women who are standing up and not feeling scared or to hide. So they struggle and continue and take all the challenge to have that space and be there.
Investing in young African women is good for their countries, the continent and the world, according to two young women from Botswana. Refilwe Kerekang and Anne Muatse have been at UN headquarters to participate in the latest session of the Commission on the Status of Women, CSW. Both are former fellows of the Murem Initiative Leadership Empowerment and Development Program, which mentors young women from Africa and the diaspora. Diane Penn met with Refilwe and Anne following their participation on the CSW panel on the issue of emerging African women leaders.
My name is Refilwe Kerekang and I am a 2015 My Lead Fellow. I do quite a number of things, but one of the things that I'm really concentrating on is my NGO called Purple Crown Society, which basically deals with underlying issues that the youth are facing socially, academically, and just everything to do with that development.
Hi, I'm Anne Muatse from Botswana. I'm a radio planning engineer at Orange Botswana, and I also am the vice chairperson of Botswana Society for Human Development.
And now, Anne, you spoke about being an engineer and being a woman engineer. Like, sometimes there aren't that many of you in the room.
As women engineers, we're very few in our industry. Like I mentioned earlier, in my department, there's 60 people, but only 10 women engineers. But we're trying to work towards trying to build a girl child from the grassroots so that they could have an interest and a passion and try to combat some of the issues that may try and hinder girls from becoming engineers.
It sounds like it's in tandem with your colleague's work because she's focusing on education.
Yes, definitely. The good thing about what we're working on is that there's a platform, there's already a good education system in Botswana, and therefore when you have the girls, the problem is that they don't know which career paths to go to. So what we do now, we come in and say, hey, this, you could be an engineer, you could be a telecoms engineer, you could do this. So we just try to broaden the perspective as to what career options are there for them.
So you're both My Lead Fellows, is
yes.
that correct? Tell me, what has been the value of having that investment in you?
Oh, goodness, that's the one thing it's been. It's been an investment. It's My Lead basically plants a seed in you. And what happens after the whole program, the 3 weeks that we spent in the training, is that you become more aware of your surroundings, of your environment, of issues that other countries are going through. Because in that training session, you have 24 other young women who are very vocal about whatever issue they're facing in their respective countries. So, you know, coming from Botswana, we do have, I don't know, we have national issues, but then we are just primarily a peaceful country. So you become more aware and more educated about what's going on in Kenya, in Sudan, in every other country around you. So that's what it does. They broaden your horizon, you grow, and you're able to just think outside the box.
And to add on to that, it's not just about the place there and then. Look at us today, we're at CSW because of the Miley program. And secondly, on top of that, we have a Get Assistant to School program where we get the fellows to help each other to do our master's program. I actually benefited from that.
And now let's talk about being here at the United Nations, at the CSW. What has that been like?
Goodness, I mean, this was my first event, and my first event entailed me speaking. Definitely an eye-opener.
And on top of that, for me, personally, it was like she said, it was an eye-opening experience. It's something that is you need to do in your life.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Carmo.